Good morning. It has been a good morning with all the orchestra and Gloryland knocking it out of the park as they normally do. It's a great, great day. I wanted to share with you a worship tip in case you ever needed it. Did you know that if you take a peppermint, which some of you do during worship service, and it's enclosed with a plastic wrapper, that whether you take the wrapper and you open it as quietly as you can over a period of about 5 minutes, or whether you just rip it open all at once, it makes the same amount of noise. Did you know that? Now there's something you can take with you today. That is amazing that you would clap for that. Actually, sharing something like that, it would probably sound like that things are kind of boring around here and there's nothing really going on, and nothing could be further from the truth, could it? Just yesterday, we had an exciting women's brunch, and it was wonderful. I've heard so many wonderful things about that from the congregation this morning. We've got the general conference going on now in St. Louis, and I'm excited that we have 130 or so that have signed up to be in prayer for these 30-minute spots. It's important that we pray for our delegates and those that will be impacting this upcoming decision and the events of the next few days. But thank you for those prayers. It is an exciting time in the church, not boring at all. And we trust that God will lead in a way that's better for his church. And certainly, I hope the message will share that same, on that same point there. And also, I've kind of moved on past the immediate, and I'm looking on to and excited about the season of Lent that is just in front of us. A week from this today, we will almost be to Lent. Ash Wednesday is March the 6th. And it is a time where we can grow for 40 days or so, and we will take that journey from Ash Wednesday to Holy Week to Good Friday to Easter Sunday. So it is that time of year approaching, and this year we're going to do something we've not done before, and I've never done it before. I'm excited about it, a little nervous about it because it's a pretty big undertaking. But we're going to offer the study of the Gospel of Mark, and we're asking the whole congregation to read along. There's a guidebook. I think we're close to running out today, but this is a production from our own office, so we'll keep producing them. We had 100 copies available today, and we'll have 100 more next week. But it's a daily guide to read through the Gospel of Mark and do some reflection and prayer. And one of the opportunities will be to gather here in the sanctuary at 6 a.m. each morning, as we did back in January. And we'll begin the day with Bible study and 40 days of Bible study through the Gospel of Mark. So I'd invite you to come along that journey. And I think it'll be exciting as we open up the pages of Mark and allow these words to speak to us and inspire us where we are today. 40 days of Bible study. I would call that to your attention. We hope also to have this available on live stream, which some of you, I know your schedules do not permit for you to be here at 6 a.m. And so I hope you can tune in from wherever you are. And then if you're not an early riser, we typically have those archived later in the day that you can go and you can follow the lesson for that particular day. So I hope you'll plan on joining in. Now, the Fire in the Bones series, we have journeyed so far that the Word of God from Hebrews is a double-edged sword. It comforts the afflicted and it afflicts the comfortable. It is true teaching of God, and it can do either one. It is a word that is alive and relevant today. We moved on to the Ten Commandments and basically saying each of these messages that the Word shapes the world, not the other way around, that we may think that our situation, that our context helps us decide what we should do, but actually the Word of God has always been given to us to order our lives. And so the Word shapes the world, not the other way around. And this teaching of the Ten Commandments reminded us of that God has laws, God has requirements of us. And when we live these laws and these requirements, our lives are blessed. When we live against these laws and commands, there's consequences. And God has these principles not just as a prohibition, but as a way to experience life at a deeper level. And of course, law without grace is incomplete. And last week we looked at grace. We all are sinners in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. And without the grace of Jesus Christ, we're all in trouble. We're all doomed. So it's law and grace together that is that word, that fire in the bones, as Jeremiah would say, that it's hard to contain, that God's got a way, he's got teaching and truth, and he has this grace that is a gift even, that we cannot earn, we do not deserve, but it's a gift for all of us, this grace of God. And so we move into today's message, which is a message about the Holy Spirit. There's a fire in my bones that the Holy Spirit is what Jesus promised. And the Holy Spirit is God himself. The Holy Spirit is the third dimension of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the way that God is here right now. The Holy Spirit is the way that God abides in us right now. We're talking about God himself when we speak of the Holy Spirit. We're speaking of the power of God and the presence of God. And that's the promise of Jesus in the book of Acts. When Luke says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so we live in a time, we live in a day where that's a great word. It's a fire in our bones that we're not alone, that the presence of God is with us, that the power of God is with us. And we can receive power to live through the Holy Spirit today. Now, the Holy Spirit is the most mysterious dimension of the Trinity. We understand God the Father and God the Son a lot easier than we understand God the Holy Spirit, because there is mystery in the Holy Spirit. And some of us may even be skeptical of the Holy Spirit. Like, we might even wonder, can we differentiate between a person's ego and the Holy Spirit? Because if a person walks up to us and says that the Spirit of God told me to say to you, we might be skeptical. How can you claim to speak for God? We may wonder, what is spirit and what's a human ego? And it is possible that we get the two confused. But God is speaking today, and God is leading through his Holy Spirit. So we want to be true to the Holy Spirit, and we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So how do we know the difference between the Holy Spirit and human ego? My brother David's a Methodist pastor, and he's very caffeine sensitive. In fact, the days he preaches, he cannot drink coffee because it just wires him up too much. And he likes to be able to separate the Holy Spirit from caffeine. So that's the question here. How do we know? How do we know when a person says the Spirit wants us to do this? How do we know that that's real or that's not just a human being being a human being? Well, when I was at Candler School of Theology at Emory University back in the 1980s, I had a class and had a lot of wonderful teaching. One of the classes there was one that talked about the theology of God being present with us in our everyday life. And so I had a professor there, that wrote a 10-page paper. It wasn't a published book, but it was just a wonderful piece of work. And he listed some of the ways that we can test the spirits and know they're of God. And that's actually, he based this paper on a passage from 1 John 4:1, where John tells us, test the spirits and make sure they're of God. Test the spirits and make sure it's God's spirit, not something else. So this particular professor came up with some ways that we can test to see if it is a if it is of God or whether it is of another source. And I love this. And Brian Dale actually had the same professor, Theodore Runyon, many years later. And we were both captivated by this thought on this whole concept of testing the spirits. We know we can test the spirits through the scripture. That's one of the ways that we have to say, is this of God or is this of human beings? Test the scripture and see if it's consistent with the scripture. We have these three from Theodore Runyon that also help us. Does this movement of the spirit build people up or does it tear people down? That's a good question. Because God is seeking to build his kingdom. God is seeking for us to step out beyond where we are. He's not wanting us to reach back into the past and try to relive something over and over again. He's building, he's moving toward the future. And so if it's something that's building up, we know it's of God. If it's tearing down, we have to be suspicious of that. So it builds up, doesn't tear down. Another way to test the spirit, according to Theodore Runyon, is does it work toward unity? Does it work toward unity? Now, we have all kinds of opinions about a lot of different things. Wants, dreams, hopes. It's just our nature as human beings. But the spirit moves us to move together. It may not come initially, but the Spirit moves to move us together. And then we come to that place when we move with the Spirit where it's not just unity, it's a deeper unity. It keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's the way God's Spirit works. It works not only to some kind of superficial harmony, it moves toward a deeper, deeper unity. And that was true in the early church. They called this koinonia. This deep, deep unity. They had love for one another because they were so committed as disciples in the early church. And then Theodore Runyon says this third mark is one that we have to have. Because if it doesn't really have love in it, it's not going to be of God. If it's filled with hate and division, it's not going to be filled with God. But if it draws us more to love each other and draws us more to love God, we know that God is working that way to follow this new command Jesus gave to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So those are three simple ways that we can test the spirits. When somebody says, the spirit's moving me, is it building up or tearing down? Is it working toward unity? Is it working toward love? Now, this Holy Spirit that God gives us as a gift, this Holy Spirit can come to each of us. That's the good news. And the Holy Spirit may come initially in a gentle way, just as a little spark to each of us, just sparking us along. But that little spark leads to something greater. There's a little song that we used to sing when I was a youth many years ago, and some of you will remember it. It's called Pass It On. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and that's so true. And the Holy Spirit can move us in that way to where there's just a spark, And then God uses that spark to begin something much greater. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, the song teaches us. John Wesley, many years ago, back in the 18th century, he knew that he never really wanted to leave the Church of England. It just kind of happened over time. He was not as welcomed there because he was considered too enthusiastic. But John Wesley did wonderful work in organization. He organized discipleship groups and societies where they would learn about the spiritual things. And he was very devoted to these discipleship groups. And over time, there was a movement that started, and it was known as the Methodist movement. It wasn't really planned, but it happened because so much was going on with discipleship for so long. It was the spark. Now, John Wesley had this fear, though, about the early Methodists, and it speaks to us today. And I'd like for us to take a look at this quote from John Wesley. It sounds like he wrote it for today, but this was written over two centuries ago, and it was written in the context of England, a new nation in America, many contemptuous kind of relationships at the time because of the world between England and the new country, the Revolutionary War, all kinds of tensions. But he wrote this about the people called Methodists. He said, "I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America, but I'm afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power." Wesley recognized this back in his day, that the church without the power of the Holy Spirit became the form of religion without the power. And then he continued by saying, "And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both to the doctrine, the spirit, and discipline with which they first set out." It's a strong word for us today, that the Holy Spirit is what separates us from being fully the church and being in the form of religion without the power. When we're just human beings being human beings, that's what we are. We're just the form of religion without the power. But with the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we become the church, what God wants us to be. And this spark can then become a flame in our life. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, said, "Fan this flame so that you will fully know this gift that has been given to you. Fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you." God reaches out to us through His grace, and His Spirit is available for us as we make ourselves available to receive the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to fan into flames these spiritual gifts that He's given us. There's never been a time more important than today for those in the church to fan the flames of the gifts that God has given you, to use those gifts fully for the glory of God. Fan the flames. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you, to embolden you, to use your gifts for the kingdom's sake. Fan the flame, Paul said to Timothy. He also said to Timothy, reading on in this passage, "For the Spirit of God does not give us a spirit that makes us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline." The power of the Holy Spirit keeps us from having the form of religion and moves us toward God's power and God's fire, which is the final point. God really gives his Holy Spirit so that the church can even be ablaze, more than a spark, more than a flame, that the church can be ablaze full of the Holy Spirit, without limits, without human restrictions. God's Holy Spirit leads us to be fully ablaze and fully empowered to be the church in today's world. Now, we live in some confusing times. I know that. I know that some of you are very concerned about General Conference, and you're very concerned about the future of the church. I know that. But let me share with you that it is in such times that God's Spirit comes to the church. It is in such times that revival comes to the church, that the church again focuses in on what's most important, that we double down, if you will, on what is most important, making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. So we double down, and we seek to do that, and we seek with the power of the Holy Spirit to be ablaze in that. So we do not allow ourselves to be swayed by all the events going on in the world and to come up with a conclusion there's nothing that we can do. It's bigger than we are. The Holy Spirit leads us to recognize in such times that's when the church can really be empowered to be the church. That's when the church can be strengthened stronger than it's been in a long time, maybe ever, when we recognize our need of God and we step out there with him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a prisoner of war and a great theologian over a half century ago, he wrote many wonderful works about his experiences as a prisoner of war. But one of his writings, I don't know that it's received a lot of attention, but I read it about 30 years ago, and I kept it because it spoke so well to times like we're in right now. It's Dietrich Bonhoeffer writing about the church builder, and I'd like to share this writing with you today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "It is not we who build. No man builds the church, but Christ alone. Whoever is minded to build the church is surely well on his way to destroying it. For he will build a temple to idols without wishing it or without knowing it. We must confess he builds. We must proclaim he builds. We must pray to him that he may build. We do not know his plan. We cannot see whether he is building or pulling down. It may be that times by human standards, which are times of collapse, are for him the great times of construction. It may be that the times which from a human point of view are great times for the church are times when it is pulled down. It is a great comfort which Christ gives to his church and to you to confess, preach, and bear witness to me. And I alone will build wherever it pleases me." The church. Christ is moving on with his church. The question is, are we going to have the form of religion, or are we going to invite the power of the Holy Spirit to fan the flame that is in us and use the gifts that God has given us and even be ablaze to the work that God wants done through the church in today's world? Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the teaching about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We remember today that we're never alone. We remember today that we have your power available to embolden, enliven, and to bring life to the church, new life, and to even lead the church in the most fruitful time in the church's history. We know that your Holy Spirit is leading the church. We pray now that we will be in step with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.